This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
An action-packed hour number one, now starting hour number two of Green and Growing live on a Saturday morning, March 23rd. Finally, spring-like temperatures. We're expecting temperatures in the mid-60s today, so it's going to be a nice weekend for you. Glad you're tuning into the show, 404-872-0750 to be part of the show. And I have previewed all month my Outdoor Expert Series. Every Saturday this month, I've been fortunate enough to have an expert guest. And hopefully you have learned a lot from Norm Mittleider about Japanese maples. I was joined by Trent Ellis of Armor Wildlife Management. We had a great conversation about deer and moles in the landscape. And then last Saturday was Jim Bearden, the bluebird guy, who I became quick friends with when the show started 4 years ago through our mutual friend, Mickey Gasaway. I love the work that Jim does at Green Meadows Preserve and the Bluebird Trail there. If you haven't been to Green Meadows Preserve in West Cobb, I recommend spending a Saturday afternoon just strolling along the garden paths and looking at the 33 bluebird nest boxes that he has put out. And this is their time of year. They're building nests, they're laying eggs, and it's great. And last but certainly not least, March 23rd, this final, oh no, it's not really the final Saturday of March. We have one more to go. But Clint Waltz, good friend of mine, turf grass expert, just saw you earlier this week at an Urban Ag Council event.
Yes, it's good to see you twice in the same week.
How about that, huh?
So good morning.
Yeah, I love getting out of the radio station and networking with people, and we met a lot of good folks there at the Urban Ag Council event. That was a great time.
That's our professional trade association, or one of our professional trade associations, certainly one of our largest ones for the landscape industry, and good group of people.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, that was at a recognition of some things going on that they've done over the past couple years, but that's also the Urban Ag Council does a lot with continuing education too, which is something to say about our industry out there, that continuing education is important.
And everybody, you know, within the trades, like you too, in academia, but also in the field, willing to give your time and talents and knowledge to make sure folks stay up on that training. It only benefits the homeowner when they have empowered, knowledgeable people that are then offering their services to the homeowner.
That's correct. So mm-hmm. it's good all around. So we get better practices out there, better for business on their part, hopefully, putting the right things out at the right times.
Yes.
And putting things that are best adapted to certain environments. So it helps them on a business side. It helps the end consumer, such that it's a more sustainable landscape. And hopefully it's got an environmental benefit, too, on it. Hopefully. It does.
Yeah, for sure. So. And congratulations to Executive Director Mary Kay Woodworth, who put that on. And it was a great 40th anniversary celebration and an award ceremony. A lot of folks got recognized for their really good work around Metro Atlanta landscaping and such. So it was a good time. Clint, we're here today to talk about grass and lawns, because this time of year is very strategic for you to come on and let folks know what to be doing. My headphone's broken. See, folks, if I let go, it dangles off my ear. And this is devastating because headphones are so important in this business.
Yeah.
So for the last couple of days, I've just had to hold my headphone up to my left ear. This is really weird.
You keep this up, you'll have carpal tunnel and you'll be, you know, in rehab or something
workers
by the end of next week. Yeah, there you go.
So Gorilla Glue is either going to fix these Sony headphones or I'm just going to have to spring for another set. But when you find a good pair of headphones, man, like I'm not ready to give these up yet. Gorilla Glue, I think, could do the trick.
That would, yeah.
It's so pitiful. But anyways, so I digress. Clint and I get together at least a year in advance and talk about the months of the year that we really want to talk on the show, and then offer everything out to you all to call in and participate. I know you've got questions, especially those of you maybe with warm season grasses that are finally starting to green up, and what to be doing, how to prevent weeds. You're trying to get ahead of everything for the season. 404-872-0750. And Clint, I'll also later in the show want to be talking about some of the trials at the University of Georgia Griffin campus where you are. I have been told to ask about the Poa annua trial. A landscaper requested that. So,
okay.
Yeah, we'll see what we can scrounge up there. But we had you on the show a couple weeks ago because I had a guy call about Poa annual. Would you say that is annual bluegrass the absolute worst weed, or are there worse weeds?
There are worse weeds, but Poa certainly is in the top three or four for sure for us in turf, and because of how difficult it can be and the selectivity in certain areas. So how prolific it is. It's just a very well-equipped weed. So if you look at it biologically, it hits a lot of the marks out there to be a persistent, problematic weed for us when we don't want it to be.
Like cockroaches, it could probably survive a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, it could. Refer to that one as the cockroach of the weed world.
Yes. No doubt. So we'll definitely get questions and calls from folks who have concerns in their lawns. 404-872-0750. For folks maybe who have never heard you on the show, and maybe they're newer listeners here after year number four started back in February, tell folks a little bit about the work you do for the University of Georgia.
I'm the turfgrass extension specialist for the University of Georgia. So I have statewide responsibilities in all areas of turf. So I work with golf course superintendents statewide. I work with sports field managers statewide. I work with commercial lawn care statewide, which is a huge industry in our state. It's one of the larger states because of our lawn care industry. And I also work with sod producers. So I've got both sides of our systems there. We have kind of two cropping systems. One is the management maintenance side. That's your golf course, sports field, commercial lawn. And then the production side. So that's what makes me a little different than maybe some of my counterparts that work with peanuts or cotton. You know, nobody's playing softball and soybeans.
Right.
So, you know, we have people out there using our grass and maintain it and then getting it to grow back and be a safe playing surface for golf or sports or home lawns or what have you. So I've got statewide responsibilities and enjoy what I do based on the Griffin campus, UGA Griffin campus, which is a great place to carry on a state program because I can be anywhere in the state generally about 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, kind of at the center.
Yeah. And I've been doing it now for almost 23 years on it. So I've seen a lot in the state. I'm very familiar with how grasses grow, trends, and the soils and, you know, the normal environment that we have. And that's why coming on with you twice a year, I try to hit those transition periods. So when the warm season grasses are transitioning into active growth like this time of year, and then I like coming back in the fall when those warm season grasses are transitioning out of active growth and into dormancy. And that's when the warm season grasses, things like Bermuda grass and centipede grass and St. Augustine grass and Zoysia grass, that's when they're most susceptible to diseases or environmental extremes or what have you. So that's when they're most susceptible and get folks to be thinking about what do they need to do and when, and timing is more important.
And, you know, a spring is a time of the year for renewal, right? And everyone's like, this is going to be the year that I have the best lawn in the neighborhood. And then maybe by May, they're really discouraged and be like, yeah, maybe next year I got to get ahead of the weeds, you know? So we definitely want to enable homeowners to do the best job that they can. 404-872-0750. And it seems like we may be combating Mother Nature a little bit because March is going to end up as a really, really wet month. Rainfall totals are already on up there. So I'm hoping that that's not maybe a precursor for some of the diseases we may see and some of the issues that we'll have in our lawns later on.
It could be. That's certainly part of it. The other part that most folks don't realize, but when you have wet seasons like what we've had this year and even last year, as I'm looking at the data, wet soils are slower to warm up.
Yeah.
So getting our grasses, our warm season grasses growing, soil temperatures are slower to go, so root growth is slower. While we need the rain, it's not good. It's good to, the rain is good there to recharge our water reserves, whether it's Lake Lanier out there or soil water reserves. At the same time, it takes a little time for those soils to dry out and for them to warm back up and then get things growing and root growth happening. So there's another aspect to it that most folks don't think about what is having on the temperatures of our soil.
Sure. Yeah. And in my part of the state, more northwest Georgia, I mean, you're much further south. But for us, it seemed like the warm season lawns in the neighborhoods really kind of started showing a green up maybe beginning about 2 weeks ago. So once that starts, that process doesn't stop. It may just slow it.
It'll stall a little bit. Okay. We certainly saw that last year on it. And wet soils, because I'm looking at the data, and March last year was a pretty wet month.
Okay.
And then we got that hard freeze.
March 22nd, I think it was, time last year, yeah.
Yeah, we were down in the 20s and maybe upper teens, especially up there where you are in the Canton area.
Yeah.
And then we just never warmed up, and those soils just stayed cool, and as a result, warm season grasses, they were green, but they weren't growing. Could the same thing happen this year? We're certainly, at least on the moisture side of it, and you know, again, water is a tremendous buffer of heat, so it's going to take a little bit more heat to get those soils warmed up than if they were dry. So we could, but we could also, from right on here moving forward, warm up, stay warm, and everything kind of transition. So it's still a little bit of a who knows.
Yeah.
But there is some things potentially working against us at this point. And while we want the rain and need the rain, it could also be one of those situations where it's going to kind of delay some things.
Mother Nature certainly keeping us guessing. Well, Clint Waltz on the show today from the University of Georgia, turf grass expert, very well respected in the industry. You and I have been at enough industry events together that I know the listeners respect you. The industry does as well. Travels the state. What a fun gig to really see what's going on. Help sod producers. You know, I just started working with Jut Howard and the folks at NG Turf. Great folks. But, you know, when your livelihood is on the line and you've got to have the education and the knowledge to keep up with Mother Nature and try to be ahead of things, producing acres and acres and acres of sod, someone like you can be of a huge benefit to control, again, diseases, maybe pests that may be a problem. So, and even on a smaller scale, helping homeowners as well, local county extension agents as well. 404-872-0750. Already getting some calls lined up from Roswell and Rebecca. Questions about a St. Augustine lawn and Maggie and Martin, the best grass for the Lake Hartwell area. So that's a whole other part of the state, Northeast Georgia, that we'll want to talk to Maggie. And get your calls in to talk to Clint here until 9 o'clock this morning. Time to take a break. You're listening to Green and Growing right here on 95.5 WSB. Welcome back to the show. 404-872-0750 is the number. Clint Waltz in studio with me until 9 o'clock, and Will has come along with his dad, too, so Will's going to be along to give us the weather here in just a minute. I'll take care of it right now just to let you know the good news. That scattered morning rain is going to move out, cloudy throughout the afternoon. Highs in the mid to upper 60s today and tomorrow. It's going to be a lot more sunny tomorrow. Cloudy skies to start the work week. The complete forecast comes up in less than 10 minutes.
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
All right, so Clint, earlier in the show, I put Nicole on the spot to think of number three, and I know that you'll have something to do or maybe not to be doing in the landscape this weekend. So I've got number one. Hostas can be dug up and divided before the leaves unfurl. That way you can kind of see what you're working with to get a shovel in the ground. And like Nicole said, even daylilies, you can start moving them and dividing them too before they bloom. Watch out for slugs and snails. You know those are going to be a problem for your hostas this summer. And number two, time to put out your hummingbird feeders. Make sure you put them out. They're nice and clean. Fresh sugar water, four parts water to one part sugar. You've got to use pure granulated white sugar. And you don't even have to bring the water to a boil, just hot enough to melt the sugar. And you can have plants in the landscape to attract ruby-throated hummingbirds. We could have bee balm. We could have scarlet sage. Even red buckeye is a tree that blooms this time of year, and that's going to coincide with them migrating back from the south. Number three, Clint, what to do, what not to do.
I got a 3A and a 3B.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
It's a 3A. So far, I have not seen crabgrass germinating in Georgia. So if you missed your pre-emergence herbicide, this weekend would be a good time
to pick
your pre-emergence out on it. So temperatures are certainly trending in that direction. But as I said, I haven't seen any crabgrass germinate yet, so pre-emerge. And then the 3B would be is refrain from putting any nitrogen out on warm season grasses. So if you have a Bermuda grass lawn or a Zoysia grass lawn or centipede or St. Augustine grass lawn, no nitrogen yet. It's still too early for that, and we don't want to create problems. So refraining from the marketing and possibly what's or printed on some of the bags in the retail outlets out there, the environmental conditions or the agronomic conditions just aren't favorable for plant uptake of the nitrogen yet. So refrain from doing that.
So right now, like you said, we strategize when to have you on the show, and it's during these transition periods, which right now is transition for warm season lawns. Just let it do its thing,
yep.
Right?
Let
There's
it,
no
let
need
it
to
out.
Try to hurry it along. There's no need to rush it. Just let it do its thing.
Yes.
What about mowing practices right now as the grass is warming up or greening up? Rather?
Excellent. That would be one of the things I was wanting to talk to you about this morning is, and I get this whenever, is it time to scalp my lawn? And I can't stand the word scalp. Scalp is generally something that we don't want to do. It's when you're scalping, you're mowing down into the crown of the plant and you're creating extra stress on the plant. So we truly don't want to scalp at this time of year. If you're mowing, bring your grass out of dormancy at the same mowing height that you took it into dormancy. So don't lower your deck. You know, anything.
It should be where you left it last fall.
It's where you left it last October, November. Yeah, absolutely. So mow it there. Maybe mow it more regularly right now. The mower is a great pressure on weeds. So some of our weeds can't handle that mowing pressure. So let your mower be your weed control right now during the transition period and reduce some of the stress on your warm season grass.
It's so funny, you know, things that our parents did and our grandparents did and folks thinking, well, I've got to scalp the lawn because I've just always done it.
Yep.
And then that's why we have these in-depth conversations to let folks know just because you've always done it that way or because your neighbors, you know, have their landscapers commit crepe myrtle on their crepe myrtle trees again, like just because everyone else is seeming to do it doesn't mean that you need to. If there's not a good, valid research-based reason to be doing it.
That's correct. And sometimes whenever I'm doing my master gardener classes, you know, we'll go a few things and concepts and say, all right, we're all better agronomist and better horticulturalist now. So the fact that you've been educated, you know, you don't have an excuse of just because everybody else did or what we used to do. You know, so here's the science and here's why and what within the plant system or soil system leads us to that particular
full-grown adults. And peer pressure's still a thing. You don't escape it. Even after teenage years, you don't escape peer pressure. But we try to educate you on the show
and make you
the smart one in the group. 404-872-0750. In 10 minutes, starting off with your calls, pretty rapid fire for Clint Waltz, turfgrass specialist from UGA. Stay tuned.
Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Some super glue, or what did I say that? Gorilla glue.
Pair there, Ashley.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
This is so sad.
Yeah.
When you find a good pair of headphones, and DeMarco, you had it right. Turn your microphone on. What did you say about these headphones? You were so correct.
If you have expensive headphones, they will break on you or you will lose them within like a week or a month or so. But if you have an old cheap pair, go to a little cheap place and get a cheap pair, they'll last forever.
I'm sure Amazon I have a pair from the 90s here tomorrow.
Well, and DeMarco and I were talking about the same thing with the sunglasses, right?
Yeah.
Like my first really good pair of Ray-Bans, the ocean giveth, the ocean taketh away. But then I had a pair from Stein Mart, $20, and I can't lose the things.
Oh, my two from 20 in the middle of the mall?
Yeah.
Two from 20, I got those glasses. They'll last forever.
So to DeMarco's point, yeah, my little Sony headphones. I mean, it's hard to do this job 6 days a week and have to hold this up to my ear. Amazon could be at my house tomorrow. You're right.
And I see why you've got them. I mean, the red and black, you being a UGA grad and
Go
that
dogs.
Kind of thing. So, yeah, it's my guess is not the audio quality, it's the appearance and look.
Right. It is more about looks. And folks can actually watch the show. So now I have to wear makeup and be presentable on a Saturday morning. And you can see my janky headphones if you're watching the show. If you're not and you're just listening, you can use your imagination as to what a mess this is for me. I'm so glad Clint and Will made their way up from Griffin this morning to join us. 404-872-0750, talking all things turf. And we have had Maggie calling from Martin, and she's been patiently holding with her question. Good morning, Maggie. Oh, Maggie just hung up on herself.
Oh, no.
I know, but I hope Maggie's still listening because she had a good question about wanting a turf grass around the Lake Hartwell area.
Okay.
So if my master gardener knowledge serves me correctly, that's still the Piedmont region of the state.
Correct.
North Georgia, Northeast Georgia, over there by South Carolina. What would you recommend? I mean, what are we dealing with a different soil? Are we dealing with more shade in the mountains?
No, different soil from not really. There may be some subtle differences, but by and large, you're looking at a sandy clay loam type soil. The thing we would like to talk to Maggie about is get a little bit more idea on her site itself.
She came back. So Maggie,
I did.
Yeah, can you hear us now? Okay, so what's the site area look like?
So the site area is gentle sloping hill, and right now it's pure mud. And I think you answered the question as to, we completed the build last March, and I think your earlier discussion on soil temperature is probably why the grass seed they put down in March of last year didn't take. So my husband and I were arguing about when would the best time be to put new seed down, because I'm trying not to ruin the house with that beautiful red Georgia clay.
And what type of grass are you wanting to establish, or what have you been told is going to work best?
They told us a Kentucky, I want to say a 57.
Does Kentucky 31. That's tall fescue.
Okay.
And the answer there, no, don't.
Wow, okay.
Kentucky 31 is tall fescue. It's been around since the 1940s or 1950s, and it was developed as a pasture grass. And we used it in turf for a long time, but the breeding for tall fescues has really improved over the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Since the 1940s.
Yes. So we have much better tall fescue cultivars out there, cultivated varieties, so improved ones. They're much genetically a darker green color, finer leaf texture, tighter canopy density, better disease tolerance, stronger rooting. So it's instead of K31, and it's inexpensive and cheap. And if you were talking to a contractor, that's exactly why they wind up at, because I have yet to come across a housing contractor that will wind up finding the most expensive lawn grass out there for you. You have to ask for it. Otherwise, it's their bill, has been my experience. And so K31 is about as inexpensive as you can get when it comes to tall fescue. It has it has some advantages to it, but if around your home lawn you want one a tall fescue that really looks stunning and will persist much better, some of the turf type tall fescues are much better.
What would some of the names be? I know you can't pick a favorite, but
what I do there is I should tend to look in commercial retail outlets as well as your home retail, so the big box chains, and the grasses that I see out there do well in my trials and plots in Griffin. And Griffin's what I consider the southern boundary for tall fescue.
Really is.
Yeah, so where she is in Hartwell, she should be fine. The key to success with tall fescue is site prep. So this is another common mistake I see with tall fescue is they go out and lightly fluff. They run a rock hound or something like that, and that fluffs the upper quarter inch, half inch of soil. That really doesn't till it. So tilling as deep as possible, 3 inches is better than 2, 4 wow. inches better than 3. But tilling that soil, working it up, you go to a great extreme to dig a nice hole for a tree. You go to a great extreme to put in the right soil for a raised bed for your garden. Why not do the same kind of site prep for your lawn?
That's the quote of the day, Clint. You nailed it. That is the quote of the show right there. That's a great point.
And so if we do that and then seed our tall fescue, we can. There's reasonable success that can be out there. And now's the time to do that. You have 2 times of the year to seed tall fescue. Ideally, you'd want to do it in the fall. But if she's got red Georgia clay mud out there and trying to preserve her nice new house, I'd go ahead and buy twice as much seed as you would need. So put half of it out now and then plan on coming back and putting the other half out in, say, mid-September next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is I don't know how well it's going to do this summer. If I had that kind of forecast, I'd be buying lottery tickets tonight,
right.
on it. So if it's a particularly harsh summer, we could lose some of what you plant now. And then we want to come back with the same grass. So what you buy now and in store and wait for till next September or this coming September, keep it in a cool, dry place. You know, don't leave it outside and let it rain hit it or the sun heat it up. So a cool, dry place, and it should be fine come September.
Is the slope going to be of any consequence?
Could be. She said it was gentle, so that helps. Heavy rains make that more difficult. If she wants to put her tall fescue out now, again, I would use a turf-type tall fescue. This weekend would be a great time. We have some rain coming in the forecast,
yeah.
So that would help it. Warm temperatures on the soil as they're warming would help germination speed that up. And then some folks want to go with wheat straw. We've used that in our research trials in the past.
Is that to help keep the seed in place?
Help keep the seed in place, hip some moisture around it. but it also tends to create some weed problems. So what I have found is pine straw works better. You don't have to go very thick with it. And if you want to go to your local garden center and ask for the old rotten stuff in the back that they don't want to sell anymore, that works really well. It's just a quick little mulch. Maybe you can negotiate them down to sell you the instead of the retail price on the stuff that they can't or don't want to sell. Maybe they'll sell you that at a little bit reduced price because you're just using it as a mulch. So lightly come back over the top of that with pine straw, and I've had far fewer weed issues. Stabilizes the seed. And the tall fescue seedlings tend to do a really good job of pushing the pine straw up. It doesn't mat on the ground.
Good.
And then it cleans off real nice with a blower or a leaf rake, or even just the first time you mow it, it mulches up nicely. So pine straw has worked much better for me than wheat straw as a mulch for establishing tall fescue.
Great answer for Maggie. Thank you so much for the thoughtful question, Maggie. Real quick, Clint, when you said the rain, you know, coming up in the forecast is going to help that seed get germinated and, you know, implemented in the ground. We talked in the last half hour about still pre-emergence herbicides. Maybe it's not too late to try to get ahead of some crabgrass and things. What does the rain do for a pre-emergence application? Do we want the grass to be wet when we apply it, or do we want it to be dry, put the pre-emergence down, and then hope it gets rained in? What's a better condition?
Ideally, you'd rather it be the turf itself to be dry and then the rain to move it into that canopy. Our pre-emergents aren't going to do an awful lot of damage to any existing grass out there. There's one or two that may cause a little bit of tip burn or leaf injury, but it would be transient and it would grow out of it fairly quickly. But ideally, you'd want it to go out on dry grass and then lightly irrigated or rained in. So if we got quarter to a half inch of rain over the course of a 6-8 hour period, that would be, I mean, if I could dial it in, that's how I would dial it in.
Yeah. Okay, because that way the grass blades are dry and that granular can get all the way down to the soil surface.
Correct.
And
it's
then
not sticking or hanging up on that in the organic on it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks for the call, Maggie. Up next, we'll talk to Rebecca calling from Roswell. Hey, good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
What's your question?
Well, I have two questions.
Okay.
One, it's for your gentleman friend. One, why can't you help us get St. Augustine up here to buy? And what is a good substitute?
There's actually a good bit of St. Augustine grass in the Atlanta market. There's a lot of it around. And I tell you, the time of year, or the times you really see it, is drought. You can drive around Atlanta and if unirrigated lawns, gone brown Bermuda grass, gone brown zoysia grass. And the ones that stay green will more often be St. Augustine grass, which is contrary to some of the things you see in the textbooks. But a lot of that research was done in Florida on a big old sandbox, essentially. So there's something in the rooting and in the ability for that grass to acquire water out of our clay soils will actually, and there's some additional data out of Georgia, as old data out of Georgia in the 80s, and some work that was done at Texas A&M that show much the same thing, that St. Augustine is really fairly drought hardy. So it's not uncommon under drought conditions. The green lawns are the St. Augustine grass lawns, and that's when you see how many there really are.
But how do you find it? Is that, I mean, that's not something that sod producers here in Georgia are spending a lot of time on, I wouldn't imagine.
We don't have a large acreage, so it's not a large volume, but we do. We've got statewide, there's probably somewhere 300-400 acres of St. Augustine grass in production. So it's not a lot. It's just a little bit on it. And then I'm aware of two cultivars. There's Raleigh. And it's an old one. It's
like the name of the North Carolina city?
That's where the selection came from, was Raleigh, North Carolina. So, right. So, and it's got some better cold hardiness to it. So the Atlanta market, Raleigh would be one. If I'm not mistaken, there may be a second one, but the one I can think of is for Sumter Sod, down outside of Americus, has Raleigh St. Augustine grass. And then the other cultivar that's commercially available in the state is Palmetto.
Shown me that at the Griffin campus.
Yep, we've got both of them. So those are the two that I'm aware of commercially available. Now, here's the problem for homeowners in St. Augustine grass. On our soils in Georgia, it takes a while for our producers to get to a point where they will actually hold together and they can put it on a pallet and send it to you.
Ah.
And that'll typically be somewhere June or July. So in the case here, if she wants to plant St. Augustine grass in March or April, our producers are having a hard time getting it out of the field point where they could actually handle it and do anything with it. So that's where some of that issue runs. It's on the production side, and it's an environmental issue associated with us. South Florida, not a problem.
Not a problem, yeah. Yep. Okay, so maybe June, have that on your radar and your calendar, Rebecca. And Raleigh and Palmetto, two of the types mm-hmm. that would be possible to be successful here. And real quick, Clint, conditions. I mean, she needs full sun.
No, St. Augustine grass will actually probably take down to somewhere right around five and a half hours of
really?
Filtered intermittent sun. Yeah, it's one of our more shade-persistent warm season ones. And it's been used for years and marketed for that as being one that can be used in the shade. So it has it, and we've had it in shade trials in Griffin as well as down in Savannah area.
A good soil prep.
Times. Soil prep is always part of the key. That's absolutely right.
Good news for you, Rebecca. I would have not known how to answer that question. That's why Clint Waltz is here from the University of Georgia, turf grass specialist. Got a lot more questions for you, Clint. 404-872-0750. We'll be right back with your calls next on Green and Growing. Great calls coming in from my guest, Clint Waltz from the University of Georgia, turf grass specialist. And up first with an update on the weekend weather brought to you by Findlay Roofing, it's Will. He has prepared a great forecast for us. What you got for us this weekend, Will?
So today there's going to be some scattered morning rain showers, and then we're going to have mostly cloudy through the afternoon. Today's low is 40 and the high is going to be 60. For Sunday, it's going to be mostly sunny and it's going to be very pleasant. The low's 44 and the high is going to be 68.
So 68 feels pretty good. That's pretty warm, right?
Yeah.
Bravo. Well done. I love it. You did a good job, and you're going to have a chance to do it again in maybe 30 minutes, okay? So if the forecast changes, we're counting on you.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Jump out to the calls here. Stuart in Jonesboro. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What you got for me, Stuart?
Well, a bit ago, you were talking your calendar, what to do the garden this week.
Uh-huh.
Hate to move you off the turf question.
Oh, it's okay.
But I've got a hosta last year just developed huge. Is it too late to divide it?
No, I would go ahead and do that. As you see the leaves coming out of the ground and they're not quite unfurled yet, it's going to be easier for you to see where all those different leaf clusters are so you can get a sharp shovel in between. And if it's a really big one, you can even divide it into three or four different pieces if you want.
Well, they're well on the way to being unfurled. They're at least palm size, you know, hand size.
Nah, it's not too late. It's just going to be a little, you're going to have to be a little more tedious, I guess, to make sure that the shovel doesn't go through one of the leaves that's open. But so long as you can still see the soil in between, then I think that's going to be fine. And the soil is, you know, wet enough now to where it's going to make it easy for you to move them and dig them up. So go for it.
Sounds good.
Love it. Thank you, Stuart. Thanks for listening. And yeah, the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend, we'll share that with you. DJ, a question about monkey grass. And Dave in Dallas is looking for recommendations on a ground cover so Clint and I can put our heads together on that one. And Ronnie in Snellville seeded the front yard last year. What to do now? So get your lawn questions in for us. 404-872-0750.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.